Hello, friends. Welcome to the Neighborhood Church Podcast. You can go to neighborhoodchurchmn.org to get more information on how you can get even better connected. Have a good and beautiful day.
Morning. Hi, everybody. I'm glad you guys are here. We are deep into Advent, getting closer and closer to Christmas. Does everyone have a Christmas tree?
Yeah.
For our culture, this is a busy time of year, isn't it? We've been shopping and getting deals and baking cookies and watching Christmas movies and shoveling and going to choir concerts. It's a Christmassy, busy time. And I thought about this morning, instead of adding to the busyness and the kind of the over-the-topness that we tend to feel in December, I've been hoping and imagining that maybe our time together today could be something a little different. Maybe making some space together. And imagine being in some space in the middle of our thick Decembers that are so full and having the space to rest, to feel peaceful, unrushed, like the kind of wide open space where there is the mental and emotional room to maybe tend to some deeper stuff inside of us. Maybe some pushed away thoughts or feelings. Maybe something that you've been needing from God for a while, but it's been maybe overlooked or overdrawn with other stuff to do. So I'm hoping that we have the space today together. And we've heard that Advent is about that. It's about this waiting and watching, almost like the slowing down in the darkness. I want that for us today. So be prepared to have some space together. So I thought a nice way to start that, if you guys would with me, would be to take a deep breath together. Ready? We do this with our kids when they have tantrums. One, two, three. As we settle into some physical space and peace, I'm going to read us some words from Luke. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. There's a lot to take into this story. How many times have we heard this? You can even see it on Charlie Brown Christmas. It's everywhere in our lives since we've been little kids. And so many things we could be curious about if we tune into this story again. And these are some of the questions I had as I reread it for the millionth time this year. A main question I had was, how clean was that little stable? I mean, animal poop, a placenta, like, it was probably disgusting, am I right? And the angels that appeared in the sky, what did that look like? What do angels sound like when they sing? There were so many diverse and different people visiting. Did they like each other? Did they get along? Were they happy to see each other in the same place? And the fact that Mary and Joseph and Jesus would soon become refugees. Was this a discussion topic in the middle of the birth? Did they know this was coming? Was there stress? What a story. And as I imagined and questioned some more, I thought I was going to talk about the shepherds today, because that's a part of the story that I always love and get a little emotional about. But I kept finding myself land on one small little piece of the story. And I think it's such a helpful nudge for us during Advent and really throughout all of our life. It's what Mary does in the thick of this incredible story. It says, "But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart." I just find it incredible that amidst the crazy, chaotic, overwhelming, exhausting, exciting scene of her giving birth to Jesus and everything that happened, and the animals and the visitors and the angels and being behind a Motel 6 of all places, that her natural response was to hold the thoughts within her and quietly make space with God. In our annual fast-paced Christmassy month of December, how often do we leave our office Christmas party and treasure what we just experienced and ponder and make space? It also dawned on me that this practice of what Mary did, this little piece we get to see of her in the story, that there's a name for what she did. It's often just called meditation or prayer. Mary practiced waiting and watching at the birth of Jesus. And I kind of hope that Mary can teach us how to make some space today, how to practice what she was practicing despite the craziness of our lives. So we make space first because we know we act out of who we are. There's so much unexpected good stuff about making space and so many reasons to do it. And I, for one, am sure that God is inviting all of us into this. So I want to offer like some practical steps for us today. In the past couple of years, I have been making space through some counseling and receiving spiritual direction, which has allowed me to see some patterns in my life. That's one of the goodness of making space. We become self-aware through it. And from the outside, this pattern that I'm recognizing as I make space looks really good on the outside, but I've come to see it's not very helpful at all. Here it is. When I get into a stressful situation, when I start sensing the needs of others, or I see that people are upset or in a hurting place and I start feeling their pain, I sometimes feel a compulsion rise up in me to step in and try to make them feel better or to rescue or to overpromise. And I've done this for much of my life. I've realized through the space I've made, I've found this out because I have been driven by the need to not disappoint people, and I act out of that. There are lots of problems with this. Number one, when I overpromise, I quickly run out of steam because I'm acting out of anxiety and pressure, which means I have poorly thought out plans, and I often cannot keep my promises and don't have the resources or energy to do what I said I would do. Secondly, when I try to rescue people, I assume that the person doesn't know what they need and I know, and I rob them of the opportunity to recognize how they want to move forward in their life. Thirdly, I then feel obligated to show up in the same way the next time I see that person, and I often feel resentful about it, and I feel lots of shame if I don't help them. Here's a super simple example of this pattern I'm seeing in my life. Just the other day, just this week, a person in our neighborhood asked me to help her shovel her sidewalk and driveway, and as I was shoveling, she started telling me about her back and neck pain, and I could see in her face that she was hurting, and I started feeling this need to help her and some anxiety, and all of a sudden out comes her mouth, "Would you be my snow removal person this winter?" And I, you guys, I could feel it come up in me. I looked at her driveway and her sidewalk and her many steps, and I looked at my arms and the shovel. And I could feel it. Wait, what would you guys say? Maybe you're like me, and you feel this built-in push in you to say yes, even though you know you probably can't do it, or that you probably even shouldn't. Others of us would not have even been there, because when we sense anxiety from others, we tend to withdraw and protect ourselves. Others of you might have told her back what she needed to do and kind of pushed the anxiety back to her. And others of us would have just gossiped about it to our neighbors to spread the anxiety that way, which sometimes I do too. I'll tell you what I did. I looked at her and I said, no, I can't promise that. I'll help you when I can, but I can't be your snow removal person. And I was immediately relieved that I was realistic. But then I saw her face. I saw that she was disappointed, which grabbed that thing in me. And I began to anxiously, frantically try to think of a new plan. Maybe I could call all my neighbors. And every time it snows, we could all be there together doing this. Maybe we could take turns. Maybe I could call some other place in town. Oh, man, do you guys ever see this in yourself? This way of reacting and responding to the world that maybe if we were aware of, we could let God put his finger in there and tell us more. You ever come across these verses in the Bible that talk about how we are freed to live in a new way? The ones that say, like, the new is here, the old is gone, but we've not known what that really means for us or how to live into it. For me, how to not live into this place of constantly thinking about what other people think of me. What if step one is like Mary? We start making space to see even the hard stuff, to take ownership of the ways that we show up. And we can start by asking some questions of ourselves. How do I show up when I feel tension in and around me? Am I aware of the patterns of reacting and responding to stress in my life? What emotions of mine feel out of control? For me, it's always shame. It just blows up inside of me. What teachings of Jesus do I find impossible to step into? Am I willing to look into this? Am I willing to give this some space in my life? Do I understand that how I act is completely connected to how I have been shaped, who I am? We make space because we are people who are shaped first. We live out of that. The woman I meet with for spiritual direction is so wise. And she sometimes says this to me, before you take on more in your life to do, allow God to shape you first. And this is one of the gifts of following Mary's suit. I'm not saying we have to spend months to deliberate whether we should shovel our neighbor's yard. But I am saying that when we take space to stop talking, to stop doing, to stop being numb, to stop hiding, and to engage in God in some sort of practice, we actually meet God. There's some honesty there and questions asked. We get shaped first. And that makes all the difference for the road ahead and the direction we take in our day-to-day lives. We are people who are invited to be shaped before we act. Mary, in that barn, it seems, amidst it all, before she made plans for her family, before she overshared or dug in her heels, or got protective, or said too much, or said too little, or did too much, or whatever Mary's patterns of reacting were. Think of all the ways we might respond as Mary in that crazy, dirty, chaotic stable. She made space and allowed God to pray with her through all the things she was experiencing. And I'm not sure what that did to her or what formed in her over time, but, and this is just me wondering, if Mary made this a regular practice in her life, if she had this habit of inwardly holding questions with God and sitting with God and pondering her life with God, listening, being open, I bet this significantly changed and shaped how she showed up in her life as the mother of Jesus for the long haul. Have you guys ever noticed that at the end when Jesus dies, there is no record of Mary freaking out? She's not trying to yank him off the cross. She's not, you know, screaming at anybody there. She's not losing her temper. She didn't avoid being there because it was too painful. She was there. She was present. She didn't make a scene. To show up where your son is dying and knowing what to do or not to do or to say or not to say comes from what was shaped inside of her over her life. Being shaped with God, and I'm not trying to be mysterious about what this means, being shaped. We'll talk more about the practical details of that. But making space to work out our hearts and minds and bodies with God changes how we show up, who we're becoming. And for us, these kind of shaping moments changes seemingly small things for us. It changes how we show up in the long line, the store at Christmas. It changes how we show up when we get news that we're not getting a bonus this year, or that we're getting an even bigger bonus. Think about that. How do we show up when we've been given more than we thought we would? Making space shapes us in a way that changes how we show up when crazy Uncle Leonard takes the seat next to us at the Christmas table, or when we're far from family and want to be close, or when the calendar is so full and your kids are running ragged and you've been asked to do one more thing. We act out of the way we have been shaped inside. If making space was a lifelong practice of Mary, I think it served her really well. And I love that it makes an appearance in the Christmas story, that there was room for it in that crazy full moment. It seems so unlikely, but there it was. There was space so she could be shaped. A man named Justin McRoberts is this guy I follow on Instagram. He follows Jesus, he writes some books, and every day he posts like a little tiny poem. I saw this on there and it seemed to fit this so well. He wrote, "I have been in the process of formation since before I was born. The question is, am I aware of what is shaping me?" How do we make space to be people who are shaped on purpose? And this can look like a lot of ways, and it should be different for all of us. It's right along the side of being aware of our struggles, and our patterns, and the places that we show up in ways that we might not want to. We can also be aware of the glimmers of faith and hope and love, these true good desires, almost of God interacting with our true self, pointing to the ways that we could be or that we might be. And I'll tell you what, just as I have made some space to see all of the broken stuff, the hard things in my life, making space has also helped me see some of the vision or the hope that I might have, the way that I might show up amongst people and community. I recognize that what I hope for is to see a steadiness in me, a sense that I am okay, that I could be a person who shows up and isn't afraid to be honest, who could make decisions clearly and with courage. Basically, I want to be a person who is free to be myself in the world and to know that God thinks it's good. Do you ever think about this stuff? Do you guys ever ache for change in your life or a vision for what you could be or might be? I'm totally convinced we can't throw those thoughts to the wayside, but that they are sparks of truth for us and that they are good and right and real visions. Yet they too need space to become. A practice that I have been entering into with this hard stuff and the hopeful stuff is centering prayer. Have you guys ever heard of this? Are you familiar with centering prayer? So it looks like this. I'm still not super consistent or even doing this every day. This is how you do it. You're invited to quietly sit in God's presence for maybe 20-ish minutes, and as much as you are able, you clear your mind of all thoughts. Even the good thoughts. No thoughts at all. You're not even talking to God. No pictures, no ideas, no questions. You simply sit in silence with God. And every thought that comes along, you pretend it's on a river. I pretend this at least. And that I have a hand that can just push the boat along. Clear it out. I'm just sitting in silence with God. It's a super non-emotional, non-dramatic, basic way of just being. And it has been a struggle for me. I thought it would be totally easy because you're not doing anything. But it turns out that it actually really freaks me out because I knew that at the start of this practice, I am driven by the need to not disappoint people and this shame that something is wrong with me. And I act by trying to be unique, by striving, by getting entangled in my emotions. And I can't do any of that in centering prayer. I can't fixate on my pain. I can't rehash a scheme to do it better. I can't get emotional with God and feel better that way. I'm only allowed to be. Can't even ask God a single thing. I hated this for a long time. Not to mention like this distracting stream of boats that I have to keep pushing along on my river. But you know what's happened? Slowly, slowly, this is what's being shaped in me. Deep down, I am starting to sense that I am accepted even when I don't offer a single thing, even when I don't feel something, even when I'm not working hard to please, because God stays with me in centering prayer. And even when I'm not able to do all my usual things of pleasing people, and guess what? I try to please God with the same stuff. God stays with me. And I'm starting to believe that this is more than God just enduring being with me, because I thought that for a long time. I thought he just bared being with me as I sat with him for 20 minutes. I'm starting to believe that it's actually God loving me. And you know, just having the corner of that very thought getting inside of me is changing something within me. It's shaping me. I'm starting to believe that rather than being a disappointment, that I might be good and loved and okay. And this, in turn, is starting to free me up to change the way that I show up, the way that I act. I'm curious if you could have a practice in your life that would hold the hard stuff and the hopeful stuff with you and God together in a way where God could reach in and shape you in the way that you are made. Oh my, that was a Harry Potter moment. Oh man, someone's a wizard in here. So here's a little roadmap that might bring about some ideas. Think about your lives. Each of us are different. Each of us have different places that we encounter God that feel sacred to us. What sacred spaces are in your life? Where do you guys feel close to God? What are you doing in those places and time that allow you to meet God in that deep, connected way? Even look back over the last week. Were there any special moments where you felt particularly connected to God? It can be simple stuff, walks in the woods, journaling, celebrating, meditating, washing dishes, exercising, bits of solitude, certain parts of your daily drive, even shoveling. Convinced God is willing to meet us everywhere. What if that thing that you know is just like this deep well for you, that when you experience it, it goes deep and it fills you and you are there with God? What if you could make this a regular routine? What if you could find a practice where God is working in you and with you directly with the very stuff that you know about yourself, the dreams, the hard stuff, the stuck stuff, the things you know that could be that are in you? I would recommend you try an easy one and a hard one. It's easy for me to journal. I'm going to keep doing that. It's hard for me to do centering prayer, but it pours into my soul. What if this was your way of saying yes to be shaped by God for the long haul of your life? Somehow Luke decided to show us this little snippet of Mary practicing something good and holy and ordinary. She quietly meditates in the Christmas story. She makes space, and we are invited to as well. So I didn't think we could pass up the opportunity to do a practice together. I'm not even going to ask you guys to stand up. Just going to ask you to stay comfy and cozy. But we're going to practice something called an examine together. Has anyone here practiced that? Yeah. It's from the Jesuit tradition, and it's a way of looking back into your days and seeing how God was woven in it, how God is speaking to us, things he might want to show us, and it's entering into space with God. So if you would, just close your eyes with me. If you want to, you can put your hands out as just like a physical sign of being open to God right now. We're going to move through some questions between us and God together, just quietly. So first, we recognize that God is here with us. We're going to take a minute to be still with God. You can remind yourself that God is here, God is present, and that he wants to be with you. Some people describe it like this, that his loving gaze upon you right now. See if you can find comfort in God's presence. Now we're going to look back on our day yesterday with gratitude. If you can, walk through your Saturday and note the things that brought you joy and delight. Small things could be what you ate, what you saw out the window. Big things, news you received. Give yourself space. Remember what brought you joy yesterday, and then quietly thank God for it. Now look back on the day with God again and allow your mind to relive all the situations that you went through and all the details of that. Consider these questions with God right now. When or where yesterday was I cooperating the most with you, God? When did I feel like we were participating together? Now ask this question. God, when did I resist you yesterday? Then we ask God to point to something that was significant about yesterday. It might be a feeling, a good feeling, a bad feeling. It might be an encounter with a person, a moment that was happy or peaceful. Or it might seem like something small, but it's popping up in your mind. Ask God to highlight one thing from yesterday that matters. Look at that thing in your mind. And allow a prayer, just a spontaneous, whatever you want to say to God about that thing. Say it to God now. And lastly, we look forward to the whole rest of our Sunday. Ask God, God, would you give us light to face the challenges of just the rest of today? And we get to pay attention to the feelings that pop up right now as we think about what's ahead of us today. Is there stress? Is there joy? Dread? Are you apprehensive? Cheerful? Allow those feelings to turn into a prayer. God, would you help us walk through this day? Would you give us what we need to live this day with you? And lastly, we pray for hope that we might see God's goodness in the remaining 12 hours of our Sunday. God with us in our full snowy December. You guys can stand with me. Thank you guys so much for coming on a full snowy day, cold day. And I am hoping and praying that whatever goodness God did in us as we're together today, that we would carry it with us the rest of the day. We have a prayer ministry team here, which is just honestly another practice that we can enter into. It's a way of connecting with God with another person. So if there is something that God brought up as we did that examine, if there is a part of yesterday or last week or the month that we know we need God's hope for or love, let's pray about it together. If there is something that you see ahead of you, you want God in and through and speaking, let's pray for you about that. I almost feel like Tiny Tim, and I gotta say it. God bless us, everyone. Merry Christmas, everybody.